So you're sitting at your desk, just staring at a blinking cursor. You've got this massive project due, or maybe a complex data set you need to make sense of.
Or even just a creative roadblock you can't break through. We've all been there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you open up your favorite AI, you type in a quick request, and you're just hoping for a spark of magic, right?
Right.
And what do you actually get? You get this wall of soulless, generic text that sounds exactly like a robot reading a corporate dictionary.
It's the worst. It really is.
It is incredibly frustrating. We are all using AI every single day now. But if we take a hard look at our workflows, I mean, most of us are essentially just begging it for help, hitting enter and crossing our fingers.
Yeah, we treat the most advanced computational systems in human history like magic eight balls.
Yes.
You give it a little shake, you ask a vague question, and you just accept whatever bubbles up to the surface. It's this completely passive relationship with a highly active technology.
But what if you didn't have to beg? What if you could actually tap into the systematic techniques used by the top 10% of AI power users?
That's where the real leverage is.
Absolutely. So today, we are going deep into a fascinating 2026 playbook. This is from the Taken Command Academy. And our mission for you today in this deep dive is singular. We are going to transform you from an AI amateur into a prompt general.
I love that title, prompt general.
Right. It sounds intense, but we're unpacking the exact blueprints to command AI effectively and extract the kind of results that, that 72% of professional marketers and developers only dream of.
You know, the striking realization from the source material is that the difference between an amateur prompt and an expert prompt, it isn't about being more creative. It's not about having a larger vocabulary or just being a better writer.
Wait, it's not.
No, not at all. It is purely about the architecture of the command. It is an engineering discipline.
Okay, so before we start laying bricks and building these advanced architectural commands, I feel like we really need to understand why our basic requests fail so spectacularly in the first place.
That's the best place to start.
And the Taken command data points to a really stark reality here. They found that less than 10% of users systematically optimize their prompts.
10%? That's so low.
It is. That means 90% of people are just typing things like, write an article or fix this code, and they're just assuming the machine knows what they mean.
Which is basically the equivalent of walking up to an architect, handing them a napkin that says build a house, and walking away.
Just walking right out the door.
Exactly. You haven't given them a budget, a square footage, a style, or, you know, a topographical map of the land.
You're definitely going to get a house built.
Oh, absolutely. But the mathematical odds of it being the house you actually wanted are essentially zero. You are forcing the architect to hallucinate your preferences.
I really love how the source material illustrates this disconnect. They introduced this concept, and it's called the door rule.
Yes, the door rule is such a great mental model.
Okay, let's unpack this for a second, because it's perfect.
Yeah.
I want you to imagine the AI as an amnesiac genius who just walked through a door into your room.
Okay.
Now, this genius is incredibly capable. I mean, they've read the entire internet. They know quantum physics. They know medieval poetry.
They know everything.
Right. But they have zero memory of any past conversations you've ever had. They can't see your computer screen. They don't know your business model, your brand voice, or your target audience.
Nothing. The only thing they know, the absolute only context they possess in the entire universe is the exact string of words you just handed them on a piece of paper.
Exactly. And if you adopt that mental model, it completely shifts how you view an AI failure.
It has to. Because whenever the model gives you a generic, unhelpful, or incorrect answer, the natural human instinct is to blame the machine, right?
Oh, for sure. We say, ugh, the AI's just dumb today, or this model isn't good enough.
But the door rule forces you to look inward. It demands that you ask yourself, what critical business context did I leave outside the room?
So the goal here is to bring all that context inside the room. We have to hand this amnesiac genius a clipboard with everything they need to succeed.
And we do that through structure.
Right. So how do we build that? The guide breaks this down into the anatomy of a command, focusing on four structural pillars. We've got role, task, context, and output format.
These four pillars form the foundational architecture. And look, you don't necessarily deploy all four for every single tiny micro interaction.
Right, like asking for the weather.
Exactly. But understanding them is how you diagnose a failing prompt. So the first pillar is the role or the persona. you explicitly tell the amnesiac who they are in the scenario.
Like, you are a senior back-end engineer.
Right, you're a senior back-end engineer reviewing Python code for security vulnerabilities.
And from a technical standpoint, giving the AI a role isn't just, like, play acting. You are fundamentally altering the statistical weights of the words it generates next.
Yes, that is so crucial to understand.
Right, because by saying senior back-end engineer, you are physically pushing the model's probability distribution away from amateur coding forum terminology and pushing it toward professional enterprise-grade vocabulary.
Precisely. You are narrowing the latent space of possible answers. So moving on, the second pillar is the task, which must utilize highly specific action verbs.
So no more saying, help me with this.
Never. You say, optimize this code for execution speed, or summarize this transcript into exactly 3 actionable bullet points.
Got it. And the third pillar?
The third is context. And I'll tell you, this is where most people fail. They describe the data instead of actually providing it.
Oh, like saying, write an email about our new remote work policy.
Exactly. Don't do that. You have to physically paste the actual raw bullet points of the new remote work policy right into the prompt.
Which leaves the fourth pillar, output format. I mean, do you want a JSON file? A markdown table? A 2-paragraph summary? A specific word count?
If you don't explicitly define the format, the model has to guess how to present the information.
And its default guess is usually that verbose, overly polite conversational tone that we all absolutely hate.
Certainly. Here is the text you requested.
Ugh, yes. But let's be real for a second here.
Yeah.
If I just want to fire off a quick promotional tweet for a new headset, building a rigid 4-pillar architectural command feels like massive overkill. Do I really need to do all of this every single time I open a chat window?
It definitely feels like overkill, right up until you measure the actual output quality and the time you save avoiding constant revisions.
Okay, fair point.
The 2026 data actually tackles this exact scenario with a hypothetical product called the TechSound Pro wireless headphones.
Oh, let's hear it.
So the amateur approach is just typing, write a promo text for my new headphones.
Sounds standard.
But because the amnesiac genius doesn't know the platform, the audience, or the brand, it defaults to the statistical mean of all marketing copy it has ever read.
So it spits out something terrible.
Oh, it spits out something like, unleash the power of sound with TechSound Pro. Elevate your auditory experience to the next level.
Wow. It's the most cliche, eye-rolling copy imaginable. No human copywriter would ever let that out the door.
Exactly. Now let's apply the architecture. You put the uniform on the amnesiac. Roll. You are a professional copywriter with 10 years of experience in consumer tech hardware.
Nice and specific.
Task. Write a promotional text for a product launch. Context. The product is TechSound Pro wireless headphones. The target audience is 18 to 35-year-old competitive gamers. The platform is Instagram. The tone should be direct and punchy. Avoid all exaggerated marketing hype.
That negative constraint at the end is great. And the format.
Finally, output format. Provide 3 distinct versions, maximum 150 characters each. Include exactly 1 relevant hashtag. Use 0 emojis.
Wow. And what you get back is radically different, isn't it? It's sharp, it fits the platform constraints perfectly, and it doesn't sound like a robot wrote it. You just copy, paste, and publish.
The difference is night and day.
And the 2026 data backs this up. It shows that a simple, unstructured prompt yields an accuracy rate, meaning it actually achieves the user's hidden intent of about 61%.
Which is failing grade.
Right. But when you apply this 4-pillar method, that accuracy rate leaps to 86% on the very first try.
It's remarkable. Now, we've built this structured, highly linguistic box for text. But what happens when we strip away language entirely and try to talk to a visual model?
Oh, this is a great question.
Does the 4-pillar architecture hold up when we're painting instead of typing?
It holds up perfectly, but the vocabulary shifts a bit. The guide dives into visual directing with Midjourney, and honestly, the gap between amateur and expert is even wider here.
I can imagine.
Yeah, an amateur wants a picture and just types a city at night. The model reaches into its massive diffusion network and pulls out the most statistically average skyline ever rendered.
Right, it's just boring.
But a prompt engineer treats the model like they are a seasoned cinematographer setting up a shot. They use a specific translation of the pillars. They use subject, environment, visual style, lighting, and camera parameters.
They are essentially writing a technical schematic for art.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Instead of a city at night, the engineered visual command looks like this. Cyberpunk Tokyo Street at 2 a.m. neon reflections on wet asphalt, volumetric fog rolling in, a lone figure in a trench coat, Studio Ghibli illustration style, cinematic rim lighting shot on Hasselblad 500cm 8K resolution, color palette deep purple and electric blue.
That is incredibly vivid.
You are leaving absolutely zero creative decisions up to the model's default programming.
And in the visual space, we see the introduction of a really critical new concept, which is the immense power of negative constraints.
Oh, telling what not to do.
Exactly. It's not just about telling the amnesiac genius what you want them to do. It is often far more vital to tell them exactly what not to do.
How does that work in Midjourney?
In Midjourney, this is executed using the --no parameter. You explicitly append --no text, watermarks, blurry edges, low contrast. You are actively steering the diffusion process away from the noise patterns that cause visual artifacts.
That makes total sense. And, you know, that negative constraint concept transitions beautifully into highly technical work, especially coding.
Oh, code is where it gets really strict.
Right. The guide spends significant time on generating JSON files. If you work anywhere near data or software, you know that amateur AI coding prompts result in broken pipelines constantly.
All the time.
The hallucination rate for code syntax is around 15% if you aren't careful. You get unescaped quotes, trailing commas, conversational filler, and it just crashes your whole application.
Which is why applying the four-pillar structure to coding requires what they call a strict schema. The amnesiac needs to be put in a straitjacket.
A straitjacket. I love that.
An amateur says, make me a JSON for this tech article. But the expert explicitly maps the architecture. They say the title field must be a string, starting with an emoji. The slug must be lowercase English, only separated by hyphens. The locale must default to NUS.
But the real professional grade trick is how they enforce those negative constraints you mentioned earlier. You don't just ask nicely. You use aggressive syntax.
You have to provide the exact guardrails. A prompt general writes something like, return only valid JSON. Do not include any conversational filler before or after the code. Do not wrap the response in markdown backticks. Start your response with the open curly bracket character.
That specific instruction about markdown backticks is brilliant.
It saves so many headaches.
Because models love to wrap code in those little formatting ticks to make it look pretty in a chat window, right? But if an automated script tries to parse that directly, it throws a fatal error. By demanding it start with the curly bracket, you ensure machine-to-machine readability.
You are defining the ultimate success metric. The output must pass through a JSON parser without throwing a single error. No interpretation allowed.
So we've established the foundation here. We understand how to equip the amnesiac at the door to the role, precise context, negative constraints, and strict formats.
The basics are locked in.
But as we move deeper into the 2026 playbook, we hit what they call the heavy artillery.
This is the fun stuff.
What happens when you aren't just formatting data, but you need the AI to perform complex logic, extract highly nuanced information, or make critical, high-stakes decisions?
This is where we graduate from merely structuring the prompt to actually manipulating how the underlying neural network processes the information. We are optimizing the computation itself.
Okay, I'm ready.
The guide outlines three advanced techniques, and the first one is known as chain of thought, or COTI.
It sounds incredibly technical, but the actual implementation is deceptively simple, isn't it?
It is remarkably simple to type, but profound in how it alters the model. Chain of thought essentially involves just appending a phrase like, think through this step by step before giving your final answer.
Wait, that's it? Just adding that phrase?
That's it. But to understand why this works, you have to look at the mechanics. Large language models predict the next word based on the previous words in the context window.
Right.
So if you ask a complex math question like, what is 15% of 840? And force an immediate answer, the model has to take a massive computational leap to predict that final number. Without Kataye, logical accuracy sits around 61%.
It's forced to guess the finish line without actually running the race.
Precisely. But by forcing the model to output its intermediate reasoning steps, literally generating the tokens that say, first, find 10% of 840, which is 84, then find 5%. Huh? You are physically placing better, more logical previous words on the page.
Oh, I see.
The model uses its own printed logic to calculate the final token. This simple technique drives logical accuracy straight to 82%.
Wow. You're giving the amnesiac genius a scratch pad to work out the problem instead of making them do the math in their head.
Exactly.
Okay, so the second piece of heavy artillery is few-shot prompting. This is what you used when you need to teach the AI a very specific pattern or data extraction method that it might not naturally understand.
Right. Going back to our metaphor, you can't just give the amnesiac a verbal instruction for a complex pattern. You have to walk them over to the whiteboard and physically draw out three examples of what success looks like before they lock onto the concept.
Show, don't just tell.
The
playbook uses a fantastic example of extracting software tool names and version numbers from messy release notes.
A classic problem.
Yes, you don't just say extract the tools, you show it the exact input, like a Llama 5.4 with CODO 12.4 support released. And then you provide the exact output you expect, like a JSON object listing the tool Llama and version 5.4.
And you do that a few times.
Right, you do that two or three times with different examples like LangChain or FlowWise. The AI instantly recognizes the pattern mapping and applies it to your real data.
And there is a deeply technical quirk to few-shot prompting that the 2026 research highlights, and it relates to how transformer models utilize attention mechanisms.
Oh, I remember this.
The order of your whiteboard examples matters immensely. Models suffer from recency bias.
Really? Like us?
Just like us. They place heavier mathematical weight on the tokens they processed right before generating their answer. So the absolute rule of thumb is, always place your best, most complex, or most representative example last in your sequence.
That is the kind of granular detail that really separates the amateurs from the professionals. Put the strongest template right next to the starting line.
Exactly.
Okay, so we have chain of thought for logic, few shot for pattern matching. The third heavy artillery technique is self-consistency. And I'll be honest, this one blew me away.
It's powerful.
This is where you ask the exact same question to the model multiple times behind the scenes, running different reasoning paths, and then you have the AI take a majority vote on the answers.
It's essentially crowdsourcing within a single brain.
Right. If 4 out of 5 autonomous runs conclude the answer is 42, your final output is 42. The data shows this pushes the accuracy rate to an unbelievable 91%.
91%. It's almost flawless.
But wait, if we follow this logic to its natural conclusion, if self-consistency hits 91% accuracy, why on earth aren't we just using it for literally everything? Why even bother with a single-shot prompt?
Well, it comes down to the fundamental constraints of software engineering. Compute budget and latency.
Cost and time.
Exactly. Self-consistency requires you to run the prompt n times. So if you tell the system to generate 5 different reasoning paths to vote on, you're consuming 5 times the computational power. It costs you 5 times more in API fees, and it takes 5 times longer to return the final answer to the user.
Right. So if I'm just asking for a summary of a podcast transcript, waiting 30 seconds and paying 5 times the cost is completely absurd.
It is massive overkill. You deploy self-consistency exclusively for high-stakes critical path decisions. We're talking about automated medical triage routing, financial data extraction, or autonomous agent decision-making.
Situations where absolute accuracy is paramount and latency and cost are secondary concerns.
Exactly.
So we're building these highly engineered prompts, we're testing the logic, we're tuning the output. The TACking command guide mentions it typically takes 3 to 5 iterations to really nail a complex architectural command.
It's not a one-and-done process.
That is a significant time investment. So my question is, are these rules perfectly universal, or do we have to rebuild these commands for every new model that hits the market?
Well, the foundational philosophy, the four pillars, the door rule, the need for negative constraints, those mechanics are universal across all neural networks.
Okay, so that's good.
However, by 2026, the specific models have developed distinct personalities based on their training data distribution. So if you want to be a true prompts general, you have to know your troops and how they like to receive orders.
For example, the guide notes that GPT-40 was heavily trained on structured text, so it absolutely loves rigorous markdown formatting. If you give it headers and bold text, it responds better.
Right. Well, Claude's architecture thrives when you physically compartmentalize a prompt using XML tags.
Oh, like wrapping things in actual tags.
You literally wrap your context in context tags and your instructions in task tags. It helps Claude's attention mechanism isolate the different variables. Meanwhile, Gemini is uniquely powerful when you lean into its native multimodal capabilities.
Mixing visual inputs directly alongside your textual architecture.
Exactly. You have to tailor the delivery to the model's specific cognitive preferences.
But going back to the effort required, is spending hours perfecting these prompts actually worth the ROI for a regular person? Because the career data from 2026 in this guide is absolutely staggering.
It really puts it into perspective.
This isn't just a quirky productivity hack anymore. It has evolved into a highly lucrative, specialized engineering discipline.
The economic value is undeniable. The data shows that base prompt engineers are pulling in anywhere from $90,000 to $180,000 a year.
And it scales way beyond that. AI interaction designers are commanding $200,000, and LLM optimization specialists, the people building these bulletproof, self-consistent API pipelines, they're hitting up to $250,000.
It's incredible. And the salaries are that high because the cost of failure is so steep.
Right. Bad AI costs money.
A poorly optimized prompt in a production environment wastes massive amounts of API compute costs. It causes critical pipeline crashes due to malformed JSON, and it wastes thousands of human hours fixing generic, hallucinated garbage.
So the return on investment for taking the time to structurally engineer your commands is exponential.
It really is.
Well, let's bring all of this together for everyone listening. We started today looking at the incredibly frustrating reality of generic, robotic AI outputs. But we've unpacked the blueprint to fix it.
We covered a lot of ground.
We really did. We learned the door rule, that the AI is an amnesiac genius waiting in an empty room, and you have to bring all the context inside. We broke down the four pillars of architectural commands: role, task, context, and output format.
The foundation.
Yep. Then we saw how to translate that into visual directing and lock down code with strict schemas and negative constraints. And finally, we deployed the heavy artillery.
Chain of thought for logical scratch pads, cue shot for pattern matching, and self-consistency for critical accuracy.
You now possess the exact framework to command rather than beg.
And, you know, as these models become exponentially more powerful, the traditional paradigm of rote knowledge work is just shifting. Having all the right answers in your head is no longer the ultimate differentiator.
No, it's not.
The landscape of 2026 proves that the most vital professional skill is knowing exactly how to ask the right questions and structure the right context. The amnesiac genius is incredibly capable, but only if you know how to instruct them.
Which leaves us with one final, slightly unsettling thought to mull over. We've just spent all this time learning how to manually engineer the perfect prompt.
Right.
But what happens when the models become capable of optimizing their own prompts in the background?
Oh, that's the real frontier.
Right. If the AI can eventually act as both the architect and the builder, simultaneously analyzing your vague request and automatically expanding it into a perfect four-pillar command before executing it, what happens to the prompt general?
It's a great question.
Does this lucrative $250,000 career disappear as quickly as it arrived? Or do we simply move one level higher up the abstraction chain, managing armies of models that manage each other?
Something to think about.
Definitely something to think about the next time you stare at that blinking cursor.